Before we start the episode, I wanted to point out that we are talking about the comic book Identity Crisis. The catalyst for the story in there is sexual violence. So if this is a trigger topic for you, please consult the show notes on when it comes up and how long it lasts.
Hi, I'm Niv.
Hi, I'm Martin.
And we are Asteroids in Exile.
Hey, everyone.
Just for you.
So how are you doing, Martin?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It is St. Patrick's Day celebrations here in Chicago. They're dyeing the river green.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day. But isn't St. Patrick's Day not until Tuesday?
Well, apparently they celebrate on the first... We just had this conversation before, so I see what you're doing there. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day on the Saturday before or the Saturday of St. Patrick's Day. So this is going to be the big party weekend in Chicago. So... I'm gonna get this podcast done and then get out there to have lunch and start the festivities.
The festivity! What an awesome day you have ahead of yourself.
I'm a little bit scared. I think it's gonna get a bit crazy. Donald Trump was in town. You know, things could go anyway at this point.
It was already crazy enough for you, no?
Last night was already crazy, yeah. But anyway, cool. So today, what are we gonna talk about?
We have a slew of topics to talk about, starting with probably the shortest one. The Oscars.
The Oscars, yeah. Didn't think much of the Oscars this year.
Me too.
Yeah. And we got Deadpool, Civil War.
Superman versus Batman.
And Lucifer, right?
Yeah, I started watching the TV show.
All right, cool. I've not actually watched that, so it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on what that's like.
You're in for a treat.
All right, awesome. Awesome. All right, so let's just start at the top then. Oscars, you didn't watch it this year?
No.
Do you normally watch it?
No. I don't care about the Oscars because it's like the Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, the giants of the industry congratulating themselves because they are the giants of the industry.
Effectively, yeah. It is just a massive in-party where we just get to watch the cool kids hang out and have fun, right? Yeah, it's kind of like that. I like the Oscars. I think as a kid I used to like watching the Oscars, but now I'm kind of like, you know, I can't be bothered because it is a little bit out of touch. And I think, you know, with all the controversy this year, we kind of saw that as well. So I think the key points for me was, you know, I think Mad Max should have gotten Best Director at least, you know.
Best Director, yeah.
Best Director at least. I mean, George Miller was – I think he did a great job with that movie. And also the fact that, you know, they had such a crazy production. They had to move the whole thing from Australia to Namibia to do the – to, like, finish it off and stuff. So it was pretty cool. But, yeah, I just didn't think that just didn't think they were giving George Miller enough respect. But Mad Max did get 6 Oscars, so that was cool. Good from an Australian point of view, so I was happy with that. And Australia was very happy too,
yes,
just on their behalf.
I completely forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a great movie. The funny part is, though, the one time and the only time I've watched Mad Max was, so this is the new one, obviously, was at my friend's house after like a big night, and I was like falling asleep through the movie. And he has this awesome TV and sound system. So I need to watch it again to actually watch the movie properly. Because what I remember was like I was like just exhausted and I was falling asleep. So, you know, I probably shouldn't admit to that after just saying I want George Miller to win the Oscar. But at the same time, it was just spectacular. And I wished I was more awake to have enjoyed it.
This was the best movie ever. I was so relaxed after it was over.
Asleep. I don't think relaxed is the state they were going for with Mad Max.
Yeah, with Mad Max, completely.
It's supposed to be constant tension. Anyway, that was cool. What else? I don't think anything else major I wanted to talk about from the Oscars. That was pretty much it. Leo finally got his award. That was good.
Hooray.
I and the rest of the world, you know, it was like a relief. Is Leo going to win? It's like that moment, you know, when Obi-Wan Kenobi says, it's like a million voices crying out in terror, you know, just as Leo was getting, as they were like read out the nominations and the camera goes in Leo's face. And I'm just thinking about everybody else, you know, it's like a million voices saying, yes, make Leo win, you know. But it was cool. But other than that, I think it was just, you know, just the Oscars. So
yeah,
wait for next year and hopefully they can bring some more diversity and make it a bit more relevant to what's actually reflected in the box office and reflected in the people who actually watch the movies, you know, not just
hopefully. But I guess a lot of people have to, well, I don't want to say, but a lot of people have to either lose their jobs or their lives to make that a reality.
Well, you know, they changed the voting system now with the Oscars. So previously, to be able, and so I might be wrong in the way I describe this, but in order to be a part of the Academy and have voting rights and stuff like that, there's a set of conditions. Like, you need to have worked in the industry for a certain amount of time, and you need to be nominated by someone who is currently in the industry. And that's what kept it kind of like an insider group. Whereas now I think they sort of changed those rules a little bit. And so that hopefully makes it a lot more inclusive to better reflect the market and you know, the larger world at large.
Hopefully. Would be great. Would be neat to see other movies than the ones you are already thinking of getting an Oscar, actually winning one.
Yeah. And like movies that are set up to be Oscar bait. You know, I don't really like those. And I'm kind of not motivated to watch it if I know they're only made it to try to win an Oscar. Because again, they're trying to game the system, right? I like more authentic movies like Deadpool, which brings us to topic two.
Oh, what a nice segue. You sly devil.
I've been waiting for that one for like all week. No, I'm joking.
It's been burning under my fingernails.
Yeah. So you saw Deadpool, right? So just a couple weeks ago?
I saw it last week. But in a very small theater with a very limited crowd, not too excited people.
Yeah. You think they were multiple, like people who'd watched it multiple times in the cinema with you?
No, I don't think so. I think we were the usual crowd of people who have to work night shifts, and we all catched the early matinee. So it's a mix of being tired, but excited to see something at 11 in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
Just before work.
I like it.
A strange bunch.
Yeah. And you actually liked the movie or no?
Oh, you're not subscribed to my newsletter. So I think it's...
No, I'm not actually.
I called it a big piece of shit there.
Awesome. So I guess there's two points. One is obviously Martin and I didn't discuss this before. And two, I need to subscribe to your newsletter.
I'll hand out the link at the end of the episode.
So you thought it was a big pile of shit. Why was that?
You know, it felt like the whole movie that happened after the initial car chase sequence.
Yeah.
Of the first action sequence seems to be glued onto the frame of the movie, so to say.
Yeah.
They wrote this great action set piece and then they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I think the character of Deadpool loses some authenticity afterwards, because basically his superpower is being aware that he's a fictional character.
Yep.
And that gets across in the sequence, but afterwards he feels just like a gimmick, because at the don't spoil the ending for anybody.
True, that's a good point. We're gonna try not to do spoilers this time around, right?
This time the romance was a bit ham-fisted, so to say. I mean, I liked the length that they went to illustrate the wackiness of the character, like the butt sex scene.
No spoilers.
It's not essential.
But it was hilarious. I really liked it, and it's small touches like that that make the movie awesome. But as a whole, it's a cash grab. I think so. They're catering to a certain audience at the expense of the titular character.
Sure. I mean, I can understand. I think I can see where some of that's coming from, but I don't agree with it, to tell you the truth.
Which is fine.
The action, I mean, from a structural point of view, the movie had issues. And I think that came out in multiple ways. Like that first action sequence, you know, was like, because it was front loaded. They put all that awesome action sequence on the bridge was just effectively the start of the movie. And that's what we saw before with the teaser as well. I think the teaser that they leaked, or the leaked footage, the proof of concept footage was effectively... And I think very similar to what you said, you know, the rest of the movie kind of felt a bit light on because the opening was so strong. You know, that they started off like with the titles and that opening, just the first 5 minutes even, when he's taking down that car, was just so good. But then the movie never goes back into that territory as it progresses. you know, because even the final action sequence was kind of like it was a bit of a fizzle. You know, it didn't go back to that awesomeness that was at the start, which is what we wanted to see. I mean, that's what the price of admission for the ticket was, right? And on the flip side, though, if you look at, so I also like to look at the production history of movies, and like halfway through production for this movie, the studio asked for like $7 million back from the budget. And so that's why they had to make all these like massive cuts in the movie, and also why through the movie, Deadpool makes several references to budget cuts. You know, like we just don't have enough budget to do this kind of thing. So there's a massive scene, like, you know, when he's getting ready for that final action sequence and he creates this, like he goes and he gathers all the guns and stuff and puts it in a bag and then takes it to the final fight. But then things go differently. Again, not giving away any spoilers. That's how they managed to write their way out of the budget cuts. You know? Part of the reason why I like it is because it was brilliant in the way they handled that. I mean, it still didn't turn out as awesome as it would have had they had the budget what they were initially intending to do. But I think just the fact that they could poke fun at it makes me happy. Like, it gives me warm and fuzzies. And I think, you know, that's what does it for me. I thought the character itself, so yeah, I would have liked to have seen Marina, I think her name is Marina Baccarin.
Yeah.
But the female character.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see her do more because she didn't really do all that much in the story. And I think in the comics, she's supposed to become like a superhero in herself, right? So she's supposed to be some sort of character.
Is it spoilers? Because I have an idea who she might be.
Yeah, I don't think it's spoilers because it's not in the movie. I mean, again, that's the whole thing. I'm like, what's a spoiler? But if you don't want to listen, skip ahead by 30 seconds.
She could be Domino.
I don't think she's Domino. I think she's another character. Because Domino's got the whole luck thing, right?
Yeah, and when she, at the end, when something happens and she survives it.
Oh.
Yep, exactly that.
Right, okay. Could be.
I don't know.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to wait for the sequel to see what becomes of that. Because, I mean, there's definitely going to be one. But I think, yeah, I would have liked her to have done more. You know, I would have liked her to have had a bigger part and not just be the damsel in distress kind of thing.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I thought the movie was super entertaining. Jokes were flying left, right, and center. Like, I need to watch it again because I missed some of the one-liners and just the things that he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all like overall, I enjoyed it. And I also enjoyed that it was kind of like, to your point, I don't think he was pandering or the movie was pandering to like being a money grab. I think they just said, like, to me, it felt quite, you know, a bit more authentic and a bit more fresh than some of the other movies that we've been getting.
Really?
Yeah. It was just different enough that I was super excited and motivated by it.
Okay.
You're like, ooh, I'm judging you now.
No, I'm not judging you. It's just, it felt like an 80s action movie with an actual indestructible protagonist. And everybody made fun of Colossus.
And that was also fun. I love that last bit when Colossus was all like waxing lyrical and like, there are only 5 moments, you know?
yeah, okay. That was very hammy, yeah.
But, I mean, overall, would you recommend people watch it?
Yes. As a comic book fan, I'd recommend it.
Yeah. Do you think they should make future movies to be more like Deadpool?
No. I'm with Brian Michael Bendis on this one because I've read an interview 2 days after I saw the movie. And he said if something like if violence and snarkiness will prevail in those movies, where's the space for a talking raccoon?
True. To be fair, though, that talking raccoon's pretty violent. Yeah, it was pretty violent
and had a big gun. Yeah.
Can you imagine an R-rated rocket?
That would be interesting.
Yeah,
to see.
So the R rating itself is not what you're going for, but because I think even at the PG-13 level, they can really push the boundaries. You know, because there were bits of it, like you talked about, like in terms of the gratuitous sex bits and stuff like that. You know, I think Deadpool could get away with it, but I wouldn't want to see a movie like that with Rocket, you know?
No, absolutely not.
So that, you know, that I mean, they could still play around with it, but I want to see Rocket Raccoon, for example, unleashed to being able to do crazy stuff you know, in a fight the way Deadpool can, you know? And so I think, you know, there's places for it. But at the same time, it's scary because we don't want to go down the route of, like, making it an MTV, just stupid, gratuitous humor movie, you know?
Yes.
I think it's still – I prefer movies that are smart with the way they handle those things. And you don't want to sacrifice story and character for just senseless R-rated violence, you know? So that's where they need to draw the line. And I think that's where I prefer movies to be constrained almost by that PG-13 rating, which is very flexible and kind of what you, can you can do inside of that. And like focus on actually making a good story and a good movie rather than just adding more violence and making it bigger and more explosions and stuff.
It'll be interesting to see not the cinematic version, but the home cinema version of Batman vs. Superman, because that one will be R-rated, or there will be an R-rated version of it.
Yeah, so what, I mean, what do you think they're going to put in that to make it an R rating? Like, what's going to be so much worse?
I'm not sure. I'm afraid that Sue Dibney and the Elongated Man will show up. Did you read Identity Crisis?
No.
A trigger warning for people that experience sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline is basically Sue Dibney dies, the wife of the Elongated Man. She's killed by Dr. Light or Dr. Polaris? I'm not sure. And there's a big rape going on and Satana erasing everybody's memory.
Right.
So the whole thing is put under the table. And I'm afraid we are going to see that in movies more often. Women in refrigerators.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of cheap violence at the expense of certain gender groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid they will fuck over everybody.
Yeah. Well, I think in the end, we all get fucked over. That's the case,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So do you think they could work that into the current character set, though, of Superman vs. Batman?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to see a lot more violence in certain scenes, physical violence, and perhaps they change up something in Wonder Woman's backstory. I'm not sure. They're still making that movie.
Yeah, I would be very disappointed if that was the case. I mean, if they go down the line that you're talking about, you know, I think there is, again, from a violence point of view, so, you know, there's multiple parts, right? From a violence point of view, they can already do so much in the current rating that I don't know what they would feel that they need to add to create an R-rated point of view or an R-rated version anyway, right?
Yeah.
Second point, you wouldn't want any of the heroes perpetrating that violence.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want Batman, for example, like torturing and waterboarding people, you know, just for the sake of it. Because I don't know, like Batman, he pushes the edge, but there are lines that he doesn't cross as well. Yeah. Right. So that's one part of you. And I don't think like when it comes to like, you know, gratuitous sex and nudity that needs to be, you know, put into a Superman versus Batman type movie. Or a Justice League movie at all. I mean, it, you know, like Watchmen had that stupid scene in the owl flying machine thing.
Yeah.
You know, like it felt so stupid, you know, it felt so out of place. You know, you could all, you know, there's almost no reason for it to be there. I mean, it can happen. Why do you need to show it is my question.
Yeah.
You know,
as you've said earlier, if there's a story that can support the action, so to say, at least it has a sort of meaning, but if it's just for audience's sake.
Yes, if it's just to be gratuitous and if it's just to sort of put in there to say, oh, look how edgy we are, then that's stupid. Yeah. And by the way, like I really get annoyed when it's, I don't know if you watch the Shannara Chronicles.
No, but I've heard mixed reviews.
It's mixed. I mean, I like fantasy stuff, so I watched it. But like, you know, it's always like, so spoiler for the season final of Shannara. I always dislike when it's like the eve of the final battle when the world's going to end and then the guy and girl character decide, well, let's just do it now because, you know, we might not survive tomorrow. I'm like, don't you have more important things to think about right now? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's just me. But like they did that in Shannara as well. It's like we've been waiting all season for these two kids to hook up. So now here's our final chance, you know? So I'm like, you know, and especially like I think there was one movie I was watching with my parents. Well, not even my parents. Like we hired it. It was an action movie. And they were like, the bad guys were like hunting them on a train. And like, you know, the bad guys were like one car behind where they were. And then they stop and they have sex on the train. And my dad was like, you know, shouldn't they, don't they have more important things to think about right now? It's like, people are about to kill them. I don't know what movie it was. Like, it was ages ago when we used to still hire videos from like Blockbuster, you know? Anyway. So I would hope they have a need to insert that into Batman versus Superman. Even with Man of Steel, like the action and stuff, it was pretty good. I mean, there was pretty some awesome sequences in there.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
so for me, they just need to sort of draw out these characters really well and set up that dynamic between Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman rather than go some down, which is the fear for the whole thing for me, rather than go down some stupid Zack Snyder path, you know,
yeah.
And just make it such a bro kind of movie where, you know, it's just like you just get disappointed. So,
yeah, the whole genre could go down that path because those movies aren't generating as much income anymore as they used to.
Yeah. Well, and you know, especially after Deadpool kind of like broke so many records
Every record, yeah.
And now it's really set up competition and the fact that it cost so little to make. Absolutely. So, you know, in terms of its success, you know, Batman and Superman and even like Age of Apocalypse and Civil War needs to do really well to kind of keep that ball rolling, you know? So, yeah, I mean, my review of Deadpool, I guess, you know, I guess we went through that. I enjoyed it. I want to see it again. To me, though, like I said, it does have its flaws, you know, super front-loaded, and they just didn't have the space to do what they wanted to do in that final fight, but it still was satisfying. So I think it's worth watching.
I did not know about the budget cuts. Yeah, but as I said, I would recommend it to people who are already familiar with the base material and who are fans of Deadpool.
Yeah, cool. So going into Civil War then, what do you think of the trailer?
The trailer was good. Did we see anything new? Yeah, we know that we were wrong. Black Panther is on Iron Man's side.
Yes. Iron Man's team is so, like, overpowered compared to Cap's team, right? Because he's got all the heavy hitters. He's got all the people in vibranium and, like, you know, armor.
Yeah, and Cap got his shield and the fugitive.
And the fugitive, yeah. He does have Scarlet Witch, though. The trailer was awesome. I love that scene where Scarlet Witch is just like mentally pushing the Vision like to his knees, and like even like the floor is cracking under him under the weight of her power. That's like so, it looked so awesome.
Yes.
I love the Scarlet Witch as a character, and especially the way they're portraying her that I've seen so far. I mean, she was a little bit lost, I thought. I was a bit disappointed in Avengers. But she needs to be like a full-on scary character. She needs to be like so powerful that it's scary, you know? Yes. And I want to see more of that. So Black Panther looks awesome.
Yes, he looks great. And in action, oh.
Yeah. I love that scene where he's fighting Bucky, and then the helicopters start firing on him.
Yeah.
And he just turns around and faces the helicopters, like, because his suit is bulletproof. Like, it's just such an awesome shot. And it reminded me of that shot from Avengers, the first one, where the helicopters were firing on the Hulk.
Yes.
And the Hulk was like taking the damage. And it felt even more badass because, I mean, I don't know whether that was bad or good, but Black Panther wasn't even recoiling under the weight of the bullets. Like, he wasn't being pushed. Like, the Hulk was being like pushed, you know?
Yeah, but it's vibranium. It absorbs the impact.
That is true. I didn't think of that. That is true. That is so, it makes it even cooler now.
Yeah, but it's just so badass. They're firing at him and he just turns around.
Yeah. You know,
the glare.
Yeah, and like I almost want him to do like a Hulk jump and start going after them because I love the claws. Like, I love how he uses the claws. It almost feels more effective than Wolverine's blades, right?
Yes.
Because he takes out Bucky's motorbike. He just like destroys the wheel. I don't know. Like, I'm really pumped to see how Black Panther is going to be portrayed in this movie.
And I'm really looking forward to his solo movie.
Brilliant too. Like, I thought the black in the daylight would not look as cool. Like, kind of like a Batman kind of thing where you need to see him in the shadows, but like even in the daylight. And I think it's the accents that the suit has.
Yeah.
And the texture just looks really cool.
Yeah, this mesh texture, like he's wearing a chainmail.
Yeah.
Colored chainmail.
Yeah.
He looks great. And in motion, he looks so great in motion.
Yeah. So, it's going to be, that's really exciting. Like that would be awesome. And Spider-Man, that's the thing with the Spider-Man suit when they've had the big reveal, is I thought, by contrast, it lacked a lot of texture and it lacked, depth. Like, it didn't have, it just felt flat.
He looked like he was, it was finished about an hour. The digital model was finished about an hour before they put out the trailer.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it looked unfinished. I agree. It looked like they just took him out of the cartoon and they just kind of because there was no shadowing, that there was no texture effects. It was just kind of like, oh, just paste him on there. It'll be fine. I like the suit design. I like the look of it and how they did the little accents on the arms and stuff.
Yes.
It's a very, it throws back to the early cartoon versions of the costume. Yeah, it just needs to be finished in the Adobe After Effects or whatever. You know, they just need to do that. Do some color grading. I'm not sure about the "Hi, everyone." The line that Spider-Man throws out there?
I think that's not the final line.
Yeah.
Here I am, rocking like a hurricane. You know?
It feels a little bit cheesy. It lacks the, and I don't know, again, maybe it's just the first cut of Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But it lacks the kind of energy and kind of fun that I think it should have been delivered with. Like, it shouldn't have just been like, "Hi, everyone." It feels like Ross from Friends, you know? Just show him, "Hi." You know, felt a bit dopey. Like, I think it needs to be a lot more it needs to be a lot more energetic. And it needs to kind of be like, "I own this shit. I'm Peter Parker." But anyway, we'll see. We'll see how I'm sure they're going to redub all of the dialogue.
Yes, of course. And he has Captain America's shield in that scene. He should be much more excited about that fact.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Is it? But I think, you know, the point of "Hi, everyone" is him being introduced in the trailer for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's not so much even "Hi, everyone" to the Avengers, but it's "Hi, everyone" to the audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, "Hey, you know me, but I'm new and I'm different," right? But yeah, I would love it in the movie if Peter Parker is just so in awe of everything that's going on around him, and the fact that it's like, "I've got Captain America's shield. This is so cool. This is awesome." You know,
"What, we have to arrest him? Fuck you, Iron Man!" He switches sides right there.
No, we know that's coming, right? So yeah, so I'm excited to see how they do it. I think so far it's okay. They can, you know, it's unfinished.
Yeah, we still have time.
They can bring it across the line, yeah. Because it's not that far away now. I mean, what's the release date? Is April?
May.
Was it May? Okay.
Yeah, early May.
So it's only a couple months away. I mean, even less than a couple months now. So time is coming up. I mean, pretty cool trailer so far. So I'm definitely excited. Yeah. The scene in the trailer where the two sides are running towards each other.
This is so epic. It's just...
It's epic, but it's also, it feels so underwhelming after you, because in the same scene in a comic, they'd all be so zoomed in, you know, because that's how you would draw it in a comic, whereas when you look at it in the backdrop, and it's such a wide shot, that all the people look so small.
And they're on an airfield?
Yeah.
I think the setting, there should have been another setting, like New York or something like that, a more urban setting. It would have looked better there, with a bit of destruction.
Yeah. Well, they already destroyed New York once, so I think half the point of the movie is they're trying not to destroy any more cities or something. So actually, because I think the airport is called Flughafen Airport or something. Did you see that?
Oh, no. Is it could be that it's in Germany or something? Somewhere?
Yeah, it's in Germany. But Flug effectively means flight.
Flight. Yeah,
flight. So
Flughafen is airport.
Okay, that's what my question was going to be from a German point of view. They effectively set the scene in airport, did they?
Yes.
Because it's Flughafen Airport, so it's airport.
But I'm not sure if they put the translation on there.
No, it's one of the signs actually says Flughafen Airport. Unless it's not called Flughafen Airport, it's just Flughafen and then the translation airport.
Like on security doors where you have it in each language.
In multiple languages. Okay, maybe that's what they're going for. All right. We'll have to watch that one.
It would be so neat if that scene would happen at our local airport.
Yeah.
Because it's so small. They had the Avengers on there. There weren't space for any planes. It would be so awesome. All flights from Vienna are cancelled because the Avengers are tucking it out there.
And all the people in Vienna are like, well, of course it'll happen to us. Here we go again, always getting the raw end of the deal. You've heard about not so much the spoilers and the leaks that have come out about Civil War. There were some articles on Entertainment Weekly talking about like how things are going to go down and stuff like that. You haven't seen that?
I only heard what happens to the Vision and that Martin Freeman has a nice suit on, something like that. They talked with the costume department. And
yeah,
talks-
I don't know. I've been, so just to set the stage, I've been actively avoiding spoilers and too much information at this point. Yeah. Like, I think after this, I'm just going to stop reading and trying to watch trailers and stuff just because I want to be a little bit surprised as I watch the movie. And not know too much going in. And the same goes for Batman v Superman. Like, I'm just ready to watch the movie now.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman, they've already given away so much in terms of what the overall story is going to be. So I think it's worth just to go in and watch the movie now.
Yeah, it's time to let out the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Or the bat out of the cave. As it were. Oh, dear. I'm on fire today.
Yeah. Left and right.
Left and right. Yeah, so that's cool. So Superman versus Batman. So I'm going to go into like media lockout. I think I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna get ready to watch the movie because you can obviously start buying tickets already. So the bad thing for me is I'm gonna have a friend coming to visit Chicago the weekend of Superman versus Batman.
Oh.
He's coming with his girlfriend and they're not so interested in watching it. So I'm probably not gonna end up watching it on opening weekend. And I'll have to wait till after they're gone. So I'll be a week late.
It'll be a hard time.
It's going to be hard. I'm going to have to like close my ears and go la, 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 la for the first week and actively avoid spoilers and stuff or reviews.
Avoid the internet.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to avoid the internet. It's going to be difficult, I think. So we'll see how it goes. What about you? Are you going to go opening weekend?
No, probably not. But if the cinema runs another matinee, I'd probably watch it with the overtired crowd again.
Right. Is Susie interested in watching it?
To a certain degree, she's not that much into superheroes, but she follows the discussions I have with myself about Superman and Batman punching it out.
Yeah. But that's part of the test, right? I mean, part of the test, part of the advertising and marketing for the movie is to try to get people who are not into superheroes and not into it into the cinema, right? Yes. So it's interesting. I think Superman vs. Batman has not had a brilliant marketing campaign. I mean, Trailer 2 just gave away so much of the story, like Doomsday and stuff, because we didn't need to see all that. They should have just hyped up. Not even so much. I mean, if I was a marketing person, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But I would have hyped it up kind of like, you know, the thriller in Manila, you know, like this massive fight between Superman and Batman that you just have to see. Like, you're not going to give away the ending of the fight. It's kind of like leading up to a great boxing match, you know, and they've had like McGregor versus whoever and all these like sort of MMA type fights coming up as well, where they're like really like hype up the fight. That's the approach I would have taken with Superman versus Batman. And then had probably like a Wonder Woman through line in there as well. Because I think they even titled it Batman versus Superman. So that's the selling point
of the whole thing.
People want to see that fight. You know, that's like, it's huge. So I think they really diluted the hype or the tension that they could have had by revealing Doomsday and revealing so much. I'm sure there's other surprises in store, but I already feel like I've seen the whole movie now. So
yeah, there was a script leak last week.
I didn't hear about this.
And advanced reviews, because some people have already seen it on IMAX. And the buzz is rather positive. The problem is I don't know anybody who's seen the movie.
Yeah.
Or I haven't researched other reviews they wrote.
So you don't know what they generally review like.
But the buzz is positive so far.
Well, that's good to hear. Because the other thing that I've been hearing is that there is a bit of a smear campaign going on against Superman versus Batman. So it's kind of like, and I don't want to blame any specific fandom, but non-Superman and Batman fandoms are tearing down the movie and creating false reports of negative buzz and that the people who've seen it don't like it and that they're like having to recut scenes and all that sort of stuff. Yes, it's almost like a conspiracy theory that there is a faction of detractors against Superman versus Batman for whatever reason. I don't know why, but
the other side of the argument is I'm not sure if it's Moriarty from Ain't It Cool News or what's his name? The reviewer who got banned from Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, really?
He got a script leak of episode 1 back in the days.
Oh, right.
He was Moriarty on Ain't It Cool News. And I think it was him who said on Twitter that Batman versus Superman being one of the worst movies ever made is kind of a known secret in Hollywood circles.
Are you kidding me? He's the start of the conspiracy theory. He's the start of.
I think I'm not sure. I've read a couple of tweets by movie reviewers about the movie, and one of the tweets was it's the worst kept secret that it's one of the biggest. It's going to be one of the biggest failures.
Really, I really hope not. Though, like, I really hope not.
As much as I shit on the movie, I hope so too.
Yeah. I like some parts of it. It's like, it's weird, which is part of the tension for me. I'm so scared by what could go wrong, but I'm so excited by what I've seen. And also the fact that I've seen too much and the marketing was so stupid. So I'm like really like in this quagmire of emotions in terms of I don't know how to feel about it, you know? But we'll have to just wait and see. I mean, at this point, I guess, you know, not really much can change between now and the debut because it's only two or three weeks away. Wow.
Yes, it's two. As you said, I really hope there's something in the movie.
From what we've seen, you know, I only watched it that one time, but they did do a trailer with like this fight scene with Batman infiltrating a warehouse or something. And I only watched it once because I didn't want to watch it over and over again. But I thought it was the coolest, sickest action sequence, you know, I've seen in a while. Great. So if they can, I mean, they still have, there's like all those things still to look forward to. I want to watch, and we've only seen those fights between Batman and Superman in a weird edit of cuts. Like, you know, sequences don't quite go together and things like that. I want to see it all play out, and that's still to look forward to. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we all know Doomsday is going to show up, and they're all going to, like, band together to fight against Doomsday together. You know, that was expected anyway, just like in Civil War. We know Baron Zemo's in there, but I guess the good part with the marketing is they haven't shown us Baron Zemo yet. They're focusing on the fight between Iron Man and Cap, effectively.
Yeah.
Or not even the fight, but they're focusing on that philosophical difference, which is quite interesting. Yeah, so there's still stuff to look forward to. And so I think, you know, I have faith that they can still bring, that they've still got some aces up their sleeves. Let's just wait and see at this point.
Yeah, it's not that long anymore.
Yeah. So maybe we should move on to Lucifer now because we've only got a couple minutes left on our budget of time. We're trying to keep this one, we're trying to keep this one under an hour, and and we've both got places to go, I guess, after this. So, what do you think of Lucifer?
I was really surprised when they announced that there will be a TV show based on the comic book, and they cast Tom Ellis, which I previously have only seen in a BBC sitcom called Miranda.
Right.
Do you know Miranda Hart? She's a comedian from England. And it's a funny show. I really dig it. And I couldn't have imagined Tom Ellis playing Lucifer back then. But with all the trailers and stuff that came out, I got really hyped for the show. And I must say it's the finished product is a typical, not a disaster, but it's so untrue to the base material.
Oh, seriously? So it's like it's vastly different, is it?
Lucifer still owns a bar in Los Angeles, and he's still taking a vacation from his duties, so to say, as the Lord of Hell.
Yeah.
but instead of trying to build an alternative to the thing his father built, like he does in the comic books, he's a mixture of Castle and the Mentalist, and accompanies okay. a cop and solves crime, and in the process discovers his humanity and his changing.
Right.
And he becomes more empathetic. And, you know, at the end of the show, you have the Warner Brothers logo and the Vertigo Comics logo. And somehow, I mean, I like the performance Tom Ellis gives as Lucifer. And I hope that they incorporate much more of the source material, because it's already so great. But it's just sad that Warner Brothers doesn't seem to... Or is it... No, it runs on Fox. I'm so sorry. Warner Brothers is just... lending it out, or I don't know how the contract works.
All right. Yeah, because Fox does Gotham as well, doesn't
it? As well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just strange, you know, now that Warner Brothers has more control over their properties,
yeah.
and they could do much more focused stuff, that it's still it still feels like such a mainstream show.
Because it's on network TV, isn't it? Like it's on Fox, so it's on network shows always have that kind of very mainstream, because they have to be, just because, you know, especially on the big three, like, or big four, I don't know, like NBC, ABC and Fox and CBS. Yeah. They just have to have that very generic kind of, you know, everything needs to be resolved in a certain time frame, and it can't do anything too crazy because it's like family audiences watching it. And then very American kind of approach to the way TV is done. I think if Lucifer, for example, was done as like a British TV show, they could get away with a lot more, because the sensibilities awesome. Around what's mainstream and allowed on primetime TV is very different.
It would have been awesome to do it as a miniseries by the BBC or even Netflix.
Yeah.
Or Amazon.
Well, yeah. I mean, we didn't talk about Daredevil season 2 coming out as well. I mean, it starts on Friday.
Yes!
that's my next weekend booked out.
Yes! Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, right? So they have to sort of water it down. So it's interesting when they take those really dark characters and try to do these shows. Because even Constantine, like, I thought it works with shows like Supernatural and stuff. But I think even Supernatural is on – it's on the CW. So it's on a different network, and they can probably get away with a bit more. Whereas Supergirl's on CBS, I think – Gotham's on Fox as well, but Gotham still tends to do some interesting stuff. Like, they really push the boundaries with that show, I think.
Really? I stopped watching after the first 5 or 6 episodes.
Season 1 of Gotham was a bit iffy, but season 2, like, once they started focusing on the rise of the villains, was a lot better. Like, just the performances even. Like, they had this dude doing the Joker. They didn't really say whether it was the Joker or not, but I really enjoyed the way that storyline was going. Again, no spoilers, so I won't tell you where it ends. I didn't watch the last couple episodes, but I've heard it's getting really good as well. Like, I've heard that, you know, it's doing not so much even doing quite well, but the story is great. The villains are great. The way they've done certain things is great. So I need to get back into that.
Yeah, that's a bit sad that you have to sit through 1.5 seasons until the show finally finds its rhythm. It's clear that it has to find a rhythm, and that certain things start working out when they're actually produced.
Yeah.
But TV these days seems to be such a big experiment.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think again, is that they kind of want the show to be one thing, but the studio wants it to be another thing. And again, this is just me speculating. And then they kind of have to go for a happy medium for a while. And then when the studio is happy that it's successful and that they're getting the audience numbers they want, then they probably allow the creators a bit more control to do what they want. Yeah. And that's why the first couple seasons are always kind of like unsure of itself and watered down, because it's the pull between those two forces. And then finally, it's able to sort of break out of its shell.
Yes.
And because the same thing happened with S.H.I.E.L.D., right? So S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of like all over the place for a while. And then it got a lot better. I haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D. for the current season, so I don't know whether that continues.
Me too.
You haven't watched it, or were you shaking your head no?
No, I haven't watched it. I stopped. I mean, the stuff they seem to do now with Hydra seems interesting.
Yeah. But we'll have to just see. I don't know. I haven't watched the season, so I'm not sure. Anyway, but I mean, TV is, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I watched The Expanse. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a sci-fi show.
No.
Based on a series of sci-fi novels. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. It was kind of like Game of Thrones in space.
Oh, neat.
So it's kind of set in the future. I mean, obviously, being a space opera. Set in the future where, like, Earth has colonized Mars and the asteroid belt, and which they mine. And so it's like a couple of hundred years in the future. And so you've got... effectively, Mars is its own military force, which is kind of in a cold war with Earth. And the belt, where all the resources and mining and stuff is done, is kind of like in the crossfire between Earth and Mars. And they've got their own kind of independence movement. Because now because people have been living in these places for like multiple generations, humans are starting to evolve to be slightly different, and obviously different culturally as well.
Yeah.
And so the story is like, it's like a detective mystery over a missing girl. There is a ship that gets stranded there is a group of people who get stranded in space on a little shuttle ship because their mining ship gets destroyed by a military power. And they don't know what's going on. And so all of these stories kind of like revolve around each other and like circle each other in the course of season one and then sort of come together at the end. It was done really well. The production quality was really awesome.
It's called The Expanse?
It's called The Expanse, yeah.
Expanse. Okay, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. And also, I think I mentioned before, the Shannara Chronicles wrapped up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just... So there's two guilty pleasure shows that I have, and the Shannara Chronicles was one of them. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like, it's light fantasy. It gets, there's some good effects. It looks beautiful. It's filmed in New Zealand, really highly saturated colors and hyper real, like, visuals. It's got elves and trolls and dwarves. It's pretty good. I mean, I'm not gonna force anyone to watch it, but it's like eating ice cream, you know, like, you know, it's bad for you, but you want to watch it anyway. That's kind of the feeling I get. And I shouldn't admit to this, but I watch Teen Wolf as well. And I like that show just for its, cause I like monsters and I like fantasy. So both those two shows sort of fill that gap for me. So
it's your ultimate guilty pleasure.
Yeah. And those just wrapped up. Teen Wolf and Shannara wrapped up, so season one, the current seasons are over, and season one of The Expanse finished up. So I've started reading the books now because I want to know what happens next. So I've started reading The Expanse books.
Is it is the series faithful to the books, to the source material?
To a point. To a point. I think because when you make the TV show, and The Expanse was only like, I think, 12 episodes or something, like it wasn't a super long season. So they've obviously needed to take shortcuts with characters and like sort of combine some characters into together and just move things around to make it work as a TV show. Because the book tends to give a lot more detail around certain storylines, whereas the show gives you a bit more storylines and also needs to make it all make sense.
Yeah, because that's the most interesting part about such projects, I think, to translate it into another medium.
Yeah. Because like the beats are very different, right? The pacing and the beats of where you need to have certain things happen is very different. Like I've only started reading the book, and I think I'm about 4 or 5 chapters in, and it's only got to the point where it's like 10 minutes into the first episode of the TV show, and there's still another 10 hours to go. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to take forever. But, you know, I'm obviously going to stick with it and try to finish the whole series. But we'll see how it goes. Cool. So that's pretty much my TV review, my TV rundown. What else is going on? I don't know. Nothing that's on our agenda, because we actually finished our agenda.
Should I tell you about one of my guilty pleasure shows?
Go on then. I admitted to watching Teen Wolf.
It's called A Midwife. It's a British show about midwives from the 1920s, and we're in 1961 now, and it's season 5.
Oh, right.
And at the beginning, it's based on the biography of an actual midwife that worked in London's East End.
Yeah.
And I started reading the book, and it's really gruesome because conditions there weren't that good, and giving birth is a brutal matter,
mm-hmm.
even today.
Yeah.
And after the second season, the person on which the show is based on left to work in a psychiatric ward, I think.
Yeah.
And Susie and I were concerned where the show might go from here. And it became this real great show, not about people, but about the times, the change of times, and how people react to it.
Yeah.
It's so great to watch, especially this season, because shit's getting down.
Awesome.
Contagan, if you know the drug, got introduced. It was prescribed as a sleeping aid for pregnant women, but it caused malformations in fetuses.
Right.
Limbless children and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I met a guy once who were a victim of the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And he was missing, I thought he was missing his left arm, but he just had a malformed left arm. It was only as long as his upper arm.
Right.
But there were people who were of much worse than just malformations.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. This show sounds pretty serious and pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's very
it's
heavy.
It's not really a guilty pleasure. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure is something that's like bad that you don't want to admit to because it's so, you know.
Really? Because, you know, when we guys talk about what we watch and I'm watching the show about midwifery and giving birth and the wonders of life and stuff.
No, but that's like a historical thing. Like, Teen Wolf is just trashy TV. Like, it's very, I think, good production quality. The cinematography is great. The creature effects and the way they do stuff is great. And I also like their stories, like the way they put together the mythology.
Yeah.
But the rest of the show is like a high school teen drama, right? So that's what makes it trashy. And like, as a grown man, I wouldn't tell my friends I'm watching even the name Teen Wolf, you know, it is not the best name. If it was called like Werewolves or something, it would be much
better.
He's
a young wolf. He's a young were person.
He's a young were person.
He was Kid Wolf before that.
Kid Wolf.
Graham's
Dude,
Wolf.
That would have been even better. If it was Kid Wolf, like that would have been better. But Teen Wolf sounds so trashy. You know?
Really? I think it sounds charming. But perhaps because I grew up with the Michael J. Fox movie.
Yeah, so that's what everyone else thinks as well, is that it's just like a remake of the Michael J. Fox movie, which in itself was kind of, I don't know, I mean, by today's standards, was kind of family friendly. Whereas Teen Wolf, what I like is that they really play on the horror, on the tropes of horror movies, because every episode is almost cut, like it's got those horror tropes in it. It's not like champagne television or anything.
Yeah.
But it's like it actually they put on a really good show is what I'm saying. You know, I like it. So anyway. But midwife, is it called The Midwife?
Called The Midwife.
That actually sounds interesting. Like from a historical, because like the history of medicine in itself is a fascinating story. I mean, just like how we got to where we are, because medicine is just trial and error for the most part, you know? and that sort of stuff is pretty, pretty interesting.
Have you watched, is it The Knickerbocker or something like that? It's a show about a hospital in New York with Clive Owen.
I've heard about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a brutal show.
Yeah.
But it's so awesome because in the first episode, they're discussing the pros and cons of electricity.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's again, like I said, it's all just kind of trial and error. It's like, let's just do this and see what happens, you know?
But you stand before the TV and get the electric lights, guys. Please do so.
Well, you're going to be a master of electricity soon. So.
Yeah, soon.
All right. Look, I got to go. My time is running out. Yeah. My time is running out.
My time is running out.
Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up episode 2, right?
Yes, we stayed under an hour. It's great.
2 down. Awesome. So yeah, that's great. We need to set the stage for episode 3. So by the time episode 3 comes out, I guess we would both have watched Superman.
Yes.
That's the trigger, right? Superman versus Batman. So I look forward to discussing that.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to talking about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, you have a great day, dude.
You too.
And I'm sure I'll talk to you in between, but I'll sync up for episode 3.
Until then.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to episode number 2, Under Ubansai. You can contact us at asteroidsinexile@gmail.com. Our blog can be found on asteroidsinexile.wordpress.com. We're also on Instagram under the username asteroidsinexile. You can read our newsletter, which is about the technical details of the show, at tinyletter.com/asteroidsinexile. Stay safe, you'll hear from us.